Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey guys, welcome to the TechPoint Africa podcast. My name is Emmanuel.
I'm Oluwani Femi.
I'm Chingbazu.
And I'm Bolu.
Yeah, so how are we doing? If you're listening, sorry, my voice is just like, my voice is like this. I've been under the weather this week and I don't know what's in the air that I'm breathing. I don't like the air of Nigeria anymore. I'm sorry.
They should come and carry you out, Abi.
Just come and take me for a vacay in Maldives or Dubai.
You don't want to go to Ghana?
Eh? What's your call of your problems? Your respective problems.
Even Sudan is not bad.
Abi, they have nice weather.
Did they tell you I want to fight war? Once?
They are no longer fighting wars.
Oh, okay. So I should do peacekeeping. All right, it's been an interesting week and a lot of ups, downs,
mostly downs.
Let's try to focus on the ups, right?
Especially downs.
Let's try to focus on the ups,
bro. We don't care about your crypto wallet now.
Okay. How's that going, Bolu?
It's not going well.
Please send love and light to him.
Yeah,
it's
so
going badly.
You guys can, hanging on for dear life.
You can give us a ticket for two to Maldives. I will consider him. Yeah, but okay. Focusing on the ops, I mean, Lagos State Government is trying to... They said they want to adopt the Nigerian startup B at a state level. And for some reason, Chingos didn't find that funny.
Oh, I don't find it funny. Just they said that's...
But they did.
I know, like, it sounds like they gave me... That thing you say when you're a student.
Okay, they gave me F.
To say that you got an F, they gave me F.
I got A.
Yeah, so Emmanuel has already said this. The Lagos State Government wants to localize the Nigerian Startup Bill. So if you are not aware, the Nigerian Startup Bill is this collaboration between the government and the startup community. So they are trying to create rules of engagement for startups and the government. So they are doing things like outlining what qualifies a business as a startup. They are also trying to like create an investment fund for startups. The bill would also cover work on talent development and some incentives for founders and investors. So the idea is that Nigerian startups typically have had issues with regulation. I think the most popular one is probably the crypto ban and the Okada ban. Mm. So those are like the most popular regulatory issues. And some people reportedly said they were in talks with the government and then the next day they came out to see a ban on Okada. So this is like a proactive step to ensure that things like that don't happen. So it started last year and they've been moving slowly towards getting the legislature to pass the bill. So based on recent updates, the Federal Executive Council, that's the, well, I say the executive body of the executive arm of the Nigerian government, has approved it. So it's now waiting to be sent to the Senate and the House of Assembly for them to actually approve it. So that's like the last step for it to come into law. So the Lagos State Government now wants to do something similar for Lagos State. And the special advisor to the governor on innovation and technology, Tubosun Alake, please, I hope I didn't murder your name.
He did well. He did well, surprisingly.
Okay, so he was talking at the Co-Create Tech Expo in Lagos, and he said, we are trying to domesticate the Nigeria Startup Bill for Lagos State because going by the federal system we operate in Nigeria, each state is a jurisdiction on its own. And for state actors to be able to implement some of the provisions of the law, they themselves have to domesticate. So he's basically making a case for Lagos State having their own version of the startup bill. And I think it makes sense. Lagos is like the... Yes, most of the funding comes to Nigeria, but we know that Nigeria there is actually Lagos. So Lagos is
Lagos
like...
Lagos and the rest of Nigeria.
Exactly. So it actually makes sense to try to regulate or support startups.
If anything... If I'm glad to hear anything, there is the fact that we've been asking for deliberations, like getting the chance to speak with the government, with the regulators, and get what let them have a feel of the mind of the people that are building, and them sharing what they can do to make lives better for people that are building. Yes, so if the avenue is created for them to have these conversations, I think it would be nice. Yeah. But then on the other side, this is not the first time they've been having this kind of conversations. They have been coming out of it. So, pinch of salt.
Well, to be fair, the Lagos State government they've had initiatives to support businesses.
Like?
Okay, so the Lagos State's Employment Trust Fund.
Okay.
They have a lot of programs.
That's employed how many thousand youths?
I don't know how many people they employ.
Okay.
But
these are, so when you are creating a trust fund like that, at the end of the year, we should be able to see like some reports that shows that, okay,
this is what you've done.
So number
of youths have been employed
through your initiative.
Through this initiative.
Well, okay. So I haven't like done any in-depth work on the, let's say the impacts of that arm of the government, but they provide workspace vouchers. So they partner with workspaces in Lagos, and then the cream of the crop of startups that apply to the program, they give you guys workspace vouchers. So workspace vouchers basically means they cover a cost of what it costs to use those workspaces. So they also give loans to these workspaces to expand their business. Most of the criteria, the major criteria is for the startups, for example, you must be headquartered in Lagos, or the founder has to be a Lagos resident. Then the hubs as well must have their headquarters in Lagos. There's also the talent development. So they have like several training programs that they run with other trainers. So they partner with guys like Slate Cube and a few other startups or organizations that are training young people. Then they also have a co-investment scheme. So, by the way, the Nigerian Startup Bill has an investment fund, or it plans to have an investment fund. And they're also trying to replicate something similar with the Startup Bill. So, those are like some of the things. I think the LSETF has like a $24 billion fund that they use to invest in startups, and they also give student loans. So these are just like only five of what they do. And I think it's important that we actually sit down, look at the impact of all of this.
But they sound like they're all good initiatives. The way you're mentioning them, I'm happy about. But are there proof
that it's working?
Yes, you get. Do we have proof? Have we heard of testimonials? Of course, I know of one LST, is it TDF fund that was used to build an engineering hub somewhere in, let's see, one local government like that in Lagos State. I was there when the place launched sometime in 2020.
Okay.
Was it 2019 or 2020? One of the two. Yeah, so we know of that, right? But yes, we have to know many of this coming up, right? We are not saying those initiatives do not exist. We just have to know that they are actually impactful to the people that they are meant for, right?
Yeah. Well, I think for us to get an idea of the impact, we would have to speak with the LSETF to get a clearer picture, because I was checking the website and I didn't see a lot of like reports like that. So we would probably have to speak with them to like get an idea of the impact of what they're doing. But I still think it's important, because yes, the Nigerian Startup Bill is good,
mm-hmm.
but that's like the same problem we keep on having in the country. Yes, something is supposed to happen at the federal level, but the state is where the actual action happens. So yeah, what's happening at the state level? And with more governments being receptive of this, like I think, yes, push for it at the national level, but if there's an enabling environment, maybe it doesn't even have to be a bill. It could just be a few acts or policies made
that will compel the state governments to act. And if this goes well with Lagos state government, I think others will follow suit. So
okay, so this is my issue. I've been quiet since.
Yes,
so,
I've been waiting for you.
Okay, so now look at it this way. The biggest startup economies don't have startup acts.
Yeah, Silicon Valley.
You did the UK. And startup acts, if you look at the pattern of countries that enact startup acts, they're usually meant for small countries that don't have like this big economic presence to be able to attract startups and innovations and startup investment into their country. So investors will probably not see Togo as a viable market when compared to Nigeria, because Nigeria has the huge big market, right? So Nigeria already has a lot of existing laws and initiatives to be able to support businesses. We don't need another special one. Of course, it's a nice to have, but for me, I think startup acts are a luxury that we don't necessarily need. And even if we have them, it's just to score points. And just to score points. Oh, this government gave you the startup acts. And from the look of things, since it has sent to the National Assembly, nothing has been done. So far, so good, right? We've had other stuff coming up. They've been busy with other stuff. So,
of course,
I don't know, but let's move on because when you look at this government, and when the government is trying to draw you close and trying to, it's looking like they want to engage, what they then go on to do, you will now start, okay, is this the same guy that I was talking with about startup acts and innovation? It's a forward-thinking bill. It's a forward-thinking initiative.
So it's basically a situation of you don't need this, so how about you execute on what you already have?
Exactly. If the Nigerian business environment was already supportive, a lot of startups you would thrive.
True. Definitely.
Because what I'm seeing the startup bill covering is something that a general... like a general healthy business environment
would cover.
So incentives for startups, probably some salaries and all. You could spread it across not just startups, it could be anybody at all. So yeah, those are
issues. Speaking about government doing something good on one hand, of course, I decided to start with the seemingly good initiative.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, of course, state, federal agencies, for me, they're one and the same thing. So, but this is not on the state level now. We now have on the federal level, the Nigeria's technology regulator has introduced a code of practice for social media platforms. They plan to regulate social media platforms. And honestly,
is it just social media?
Not just social media, actually, but...
They said internet intermediaries, online platforms, basically platforms where people, that brings people together, that Nigerians use, right, for either interaction or to get information or for basically anything like digital environment.
So does that include finance?
It's kind of...
Because I couldn't really say who is covered and who is not covered.
Let's put that on the vagueness of some of these bills and some of these acts. But they generally, like, there's a general umbrella called online platform or internet intermediaries. or computer service platforms.
Yeah, that's right. Like,
yes, if you remember in our last podcast that was on Tuesday, yeah, right? We talked about the one of Kenya of ICT practitioner, one big vague umbrella, and you put all of these people under, struggle under it, and try to fit. Right? It looks like the thing here. So the news is that Nigerian technology regulator, NITDA, National Information Technology Development Agency, that's a mouthful. Well, NITDA has announced issuing a code of practice for those people we've mentioned before, online platforms. Some people on the smaller scale, some on the bigger scales. But the ones that actually bothers us are the social media platforms we use, the TikTok, the Twitter, Facebook, the Facebook, Instagram, Google, WhatsApp, right? And they're all under this. They're all covered under this code of practice. So let's look at the plan. Actually, the plan sounds good, looks good on paper. So they want to make Nigerians safe using these platforms, right? So they want, like there should be a mutual benefit between these platforms and Nigeria as a country, and then and Nigerians. So let's just have it at the back of our mind while we go on with this conversation. Their plans are good. Their plans are good. We want Nigerians to be safe using these platforms. So we just want to protect Nigerians, right? So it's for a good cause. Okay. But the thing is, this bill, whenever the conversation come up on this bill, this NITDA bill, is NITDA Bill 2007. Conversations always come up to kind of refine it. It's outdated for the kind of tech growth that is going on these days, right? And yes, sometimes as recent as last year, right, conversations came up again about the Section 6 of the bill that talks about NITDA having the authority to regulate these platforms. And yes, now they are putting their power into use and coming up with a code of practice. So what is inside the code of practice? A lot of things. But this lot of things, the reason it always gets pushbacks anytime they come up, because they're always about taxing, sanctioning, licensing. But the goal is to, it's for mutual benefits. Why is it always about all this? So in the code of conduct, you see something like a tech company or online platform to operate in Nigeria or for Nigerians to use it, that's to be incorporated in Nigeria. Then there is a part of must have a physical office. Then there is a part of you must have a government personnel as a licensed officer on your board. Then there is a thing of review details about the user when they ask for it.
Yeah.
Then it goes as far as, okay, you're expected to do CSRs. Like, okay, contribute to researches, make sure you do like digital literacy sessions for citizens and all. A lot of things like that. And I'm wondering, these tech platforms, they might not really be bothered about it, right? But it falls back on the people that want to use it. And that is why conversations are coming up again, that Nigerians are saying no, stakeholders are saying no, we don't want this. Let's talk about this. Let's refine this.
So I don't think it's about making, so everything, I feel it's, everything has heavy, heavy political undertones, right?
Mm-hmm.
And for the sake of this, for the sake of time, I'm not even going to go with the political undertones, but let's take a look at this critically. They said they want to make the online platform safe. Now let's look at a jurisdiction that is trying to make online platforms safe.
Exactly.
Which is the European Union.
Mm.
A very, very, very strong data protection regulation. The GDPR. It's so strong. And when you even look at all the things that is contained in the GDPR, and if you look at the terms and conditions of European startups in the UK, no, okay, of course, UK is leaving the EU. But if you look at the terms and conditions of European startups, then compare it with US startups or Canadian startups or African startups, you will see how robust these companies need to be with protecting the data of their customers.
Mm.
The NDPRO has not been pushed well enough. It has not been developed well enough. And of course, any expert you talk to would actually highlight the fact that the NDPRO is not even as robust as it should be. Those are the issues that,
should
be tackling.
Focused
on. You want to standard organization of Nigeria, what kind of phones are coming into Nigeria to make sure that the phones don't explode when you are charging or chargers don't. There are many, many things that you could do to keep Nigerians safe.
But that's what I said. Most of the time, when conversations like this come up and you're trying to say you want Nigerians to be safe, it comes with, we will sanction you if you don't do this. You have to be licensed. You have to pay 1% levy.
So it's all about control.
Yes, it's all about control.
The African parent syndrome. Like,
right?
You must either do it my way or not. It doesn't look like, yes, you want to make people safe, but it just looks like you're the one who is going to benefit from it.
So it's about precedence. Like this government that is going to tell you that this is our definition of misinformation.
Yeah.
And they are probably the lord of misinformation.
and the definition will be so vague, it can apply to anything. That they
exactly.
Don't like.
So how do you want us to believe you? What you are trying to bring are best practices in other parts of the world, right? But the precedence you've shown us, like, you can't define what is misinformation. You can't define what can cause. There's a part there that adds that any content that is put on your platform that can cause unrest, that can cause violence and stuff like that. Who defines that? You've not made us to trust you to an extent that we can leave you to decide what is what. So why leave the weightier things?
You know what's funny in that code is the part where they're talking about prohibition, and they were trying to define prohibited material as anything that is objectionable on the grounds of public interest.
So vague.
Morality, order,
morality.
Security.
Why is the government custodian of morality?
See, who is asking for you to be moral?
So that's the problem now. What?
So the interesting thing is that Twitter seems to be the first one to be that might have to abide by all this code of practice, these things.
Second, back to what Emmanuel was saying.
Yes, because, well, let's say Nigerian government have shown them in quotes, and the clauses that they were given for them to get out of the
trenches.
Yes, was to meet up with this, and we got to find out that Twitter is now registered in Nigeria.
Yeah,
right?
It shocked me.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they registered in April 2022. But that's
so
fine.
Who says they've not met other things? So I think we will just, stakeholders will keep speaking up. When they release the code of conduct, they ask that stakeholders should bring their thoughts, and they are open to negotiation. So let's see how it turns out.
Okay, that's cool. I mean, I remember in 2019, there was a social media bill that made rounds, and several activists and civil rights organizations actually spoke out. They went to court and they won. So there's actually hope that, yes, this will not see the light of the day. And but yes, the government is talking about keeping us safe, but we can't always guarantee that. But I mean, Kenya is up to something about keeping people safe. A crime forensic lab or something. But
yes.
What's going on there? So,
all right.
He's not talking about blockchain today. Hopefully, I'm not applying blockchain.
No. All right. So, I'm talking about something totally different today.
They're not using blockchain.
No.
I'm happy for you.
Thank you very much. So, Kenya is up to something interesting. Kenya is up to some CSI New York, NCIS level kind of stuff.
Gegen. Please play this and gegen.
Yes.
Wait for it.
All right, so they just launched a forensic lab that is supposedly worth $34.1 million in our naira. That's like 20.4 billion naira in Kenyan shilling. That's around 3.9 billion Kenyan shillings, and it's massive. They've actually been waiting for it for over 2 decades for the lab to be complete, and they just launched.
What?
2 decades.
You heard right. I know.
Two decades. It's a massive.
It's a massive one.
34 million.
For you to wait for 20 years to see something, you're saying massive. Please believe Bolu.
And even Abraham will not have waited that long.
34.1 million dollars. $34 million.
Billion. Well, don't worry. Go ahead. Million.
No, million.
Okay.
He waited for 20 years.
Yes.
Okay, so, okay, what's there?
Yeah. The president of Kenya, Uhuru Kenyatta, launched the forensic lab this week, and they've shown us. Okay, don't let me. I did not see it. All right, but they've spoken about some of the things that are in the lab. Before they actually created this lab, most of their findings as crime scenes and things like that, they actually had to take it to South Africa to analyze. And you know, getting justice is already a very slow process. We'll talk less of now having to go out of the country to analyze data, and it's a good development. I think it sounds nice, but some of the thing that really caught my attention is, you know, they now have a cyber security forensic lab, you know, in addition to the regular forensics. And in the regular forensics, they have things like fingerprint, what's it called now, a kind of lab where they can, you know, have records about your fingerprints, have records about your DNA, have records about transactions, things like that. And when you think about it, it's very important, because in Kenya, in 2020, Kenya recorded about 401 million cases of cybersecurity cases. And when you think
crimes.
About it, yes, crimes. And that's huge. Like, that's really big. 401 million. There weren't details of how much that is, like, in terms of looking at the monetary value of those crimes. Yes. But when you think about it, that's pretty huge. And
it is. I think, well, as you mentioned at the beginning, it's giving the vibe, the FBI,
exactly.
And CSI vibes.
Yeah.
It's good to know, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's good to know. For the fact that it's a kind of for a whole country, and it's only one lab that is there, it's still a good development.
Do we have any?
That was where I was going. Oh. Right. I don't know. Maybe there is, but it sounds good to know. And it is, if anything, it might actually help in fighting crime to an extent.
Yes.
Right. And for them to have waited for this for that long, it means that they've been working on the things that it wants to solve. No, wait, give benefit of doubt, guys.
No. Like, do you know the things that are inside this place?
They said
there's forensic fingerprints identification, there's forensic document examination.
How long do other countries spend to do similar projects?
Okay. This is where I'm going to. For that kind of thing to be very effective in a country, there has to be a very good or robust data system. Because if you see my fingerprint or something, how can you trace it back to me if I don't have
that's
a national identity?
That's another issue.
You get. So if they should solve, they should make sure that they've sorted out the basic things.
Well,
basic information about their citizens. Mm. Right? Because, well, I don't know.
Yeah. Since it took them 20 years, let's assume that
Nigeria giving its citizens identity, how long has it taken?
Not too long.
It's been not since 2013, or when was that?
Yeah, that was like the electronic face. So, but no, let's not go there.
So
don't drag Nigeria into this matter.
I'm just saying.
It took them 20 years, but it's actually a good development.
It is. I'm not disputing that.
Okay, so what's not?
But let's sort out the basic things, right? Mm-hmm. Why you are trying to fight crimes when you have this kind of equipment and you have this kind of facilities, what are they building on? If you don't have the data of your citizens, there's no how it can be effective. True. There's no way I can be effective. If I come from the trenches and I come and commit crime in the urban area, how do you want to trace me if I don't have an identity?
Yes, and right. I think that's not the only question we need to be asking. We also need to be asking questions about the detectives, the officers, like police officers that will be using these facilities.
Are they training them?
Are they trained enough?
Again, as we said, they've been preparing for it for long.
I think that's even the least of your problems. Because, yes, it's the least of your problems. So, I don't know about Kenyan universities, but I believe there are a lot of universities in Africa with criminology departments and all of that. So,
with nothing to practice. But yes, now
they can go practice.
That's so cool.
The important issue is, do you have a database of citizens?
Just the database. That would be it.
Because if you don't,
okay, yeah. So a database, and so I think Kenya has also been making some interesting strides in its digital IT department, and for the fact that majority of their population use mobile money, for you to register to get a mobile money account, you actually need to have some biometric exercises, just like you have in Nigeria. So there's likely going to be an infrastructure that they can leverage to make this work.
That's and cool then.
The digital ID, the rollout's been experiencing legal issues, but... Yeah, I think it can work, and don't dwell too much on the fact that it took them 2 decades. I mean, good things take time, you know. Cool. So
it's a clarion call to Nigeria.
Yes, yeah. and most African countries actually, because this now puts Kenya in a position where they can operate the same way international. Advanced countries,
the global
tackle,
south.
Yes, the way they tackle crime in those countries. When I was looking at some of these things that they have, the forensic fingerprint identification, forensic documents, and
you only see it in movies.
Yes, you only see it in movies. You don't see it in. you are watching CSI now. You are seeing
how many crime scenes have you been to, Bolu, in Nigeria? Please,
you don't even see yellow tape.
Yeah, you're saying Hollywood is just lying to us.
No, in Nigeria, how many crime scenes have you been to? You don't know if they're using it there. Come on.
Okay.
Crime scenes in Nigeria don't even look like crime scenes.
See yellow tape.
Have you ever seen a crime scene in Nigeria?
I've seen crime scenes.
I don't know. Nigeria itself is a crime scene.
I can remember one vividly.
Yeah.
Then in Ondo State,
okay,
close to Accra Airport, something just landed and broke the road into two. We don't know, maybe it was an alien ship or it was a bomb blast, nothing. Wow. I was seeing people making videos close to the cave.
You were there?
I was not there. I saw, like, my brother went there to go and make a video. There is no yellow tape.
Wow.
There was no yellow tape. People were very close. It, like, the thing caused the cave.
You're going too
in
far.
The road.
Cave, like, the road caved in the middle of the road. We don't know, maybe it was a bomb blast till tomorrow. We didn't know, maybe an alien ship landed there.
My money is on alien ship.
We don't know.
Conspirators. But come on.
There was no yellow tape, nothing.
Let's calm down.
It's a crime scene. So I'm just giving you.
But then, is that a crime scene?
If, let's say, a murder happened on the entrance of one street, the entire street is a crime scene, right? The typical Nigerian police way is to just come to that street and start
pack everybody
inside.
Exactly.
Then you start bailing. There are many ways to do this.
Tampering with evidences.
Okay, let's not go there. Eh?
It's you that caused this.
So, but yeah, it's interesting developments, and all the way from the startup bill in Kenya and... The startup bill in Nigeria.
In Lagos, actually.
Being domesticated in Lagos. Mm-hmm. Then, of course, the NIDA code of practice, a lot of issues. I mean, it feels like we've seen this movie before. We saw it with the social media bill. We saw it with the broadcast code. Those are stories that you actually find on the TechPoint website. We'll be linking to them in this episode. But let's know your thoughts. I mean, let's hear what you think about everything we've discussed. Yeah, you can tweet with the hashtag TechPoint Africa Podcast or email us with the email podcast at techpoint.africa. Or if you're listening to us and you feel like this is something that your friend should hear, you can get this on
Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, Spotify, Stitcher, Hayat Radio, and anywhere else you get your podcast.
Want to say my version of that. Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Podcast Okay, I give up.
All right, see you guys next week.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.